To advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more, with 24/7 exposure and online exclusives. Email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.
Soul Tape.
Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host, Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live Sports Talk Show. And we are here, and I am back after the worst train ride known to mankind. I'll tell you all about it. But welcome to Soul Take Champions Live. Bill Neal here with my partner in crime, Kevin Cameron. And we got some conversation to have for you. All kinds of stuff going on. Now, you know, I was gone last week, so I'm sure the ratings dipped considerably. But be that as it may,
they actually went up, Bill. But go ahead.
Well, show me some numbers. That's what you have to do. And our good brother Joe is here. Joe Kennedy is Joe Washington, not Joe Kennedy. Joe Kennedy's the guy that ran for – he's a Democrat that ran for president. But this is Joe Washington.
You still have Jane Kennedy on your mind.
Well, I
do. That's what's going on.
If you had been there when I was there, you'd understand that. And I got pictures. But look, all that is good. And, man, we got all kind of stuff. But obviously the NBA is the first thing to get to. We got a bunch of stuff to get to today. We're going to talk to you about some NBA, some MLB, and where is J.R. Smith? Is he still running? Is Terrell Owens running to us and not away from us? All kind of stuff to talk about. And tennis, because it's a tennis time. Tennis good time. Tennis anyone, as they say. And, Joe, I know you're good friends with Ernie Bay and that whole
Absolutely.
Highland Park tennis crew, so we'll talk about all that. But let me just – Lord knows, one of the reasons I dread coming here is because I have to hear Kevin say, "I told you so." If I have to hear "I told you so" one more time, I'm going to jump out a first-floor window, Joe. It's just – now, it what makes it so difficult – now – Stevie Wonder and the late, great Ray Charles saw that sweep coming. But Kevin wants everybody to believe that he predicted the impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that I've been a LeBron hater from the gate since New Year's Eve, since we started this show. I told you from the gate I don't like LeBron James. Now, he is a bad man, and he is presently the best player on the planet. But I don't like him. Don't like the entitlement. And that send a pack of guys out and bring a pack of guys in, well, you got what you paid for, son. You got swept. And the Golden State Warriors brought it to you loud and proud. You know what, Kev? And I want you to jump in here now, because if I keep talking, I may say something bad.
Sitting back and listening to you. Go ahead.
I know you felt like me. There was a moment when I wanted to turn the TV off. I thought the only way I could stop Curry and them from raining on the Cavaliers is if I turned the TV off. Them threes might stop dropping. The Golden State Warriors, serious basketball team, one of the five greatest of all time. I'll give you my five, but your position, go ahead and get it out. You want everybody to know you told us so.
Well, what I would like to do, first of all, I would like to welcome Joe.
Thank you, Kevin.
Great having you here. First time on the show. And, you know, one of the things we do here on the show, we make predictions. And also, I'm different than Bill. I believe in holding people accountable, okay? So you just can't come on this show and say things and not expect to be held accountable for what you say.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, imagine this. Go back a couple weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it was. Do you remember when Golden State was down 3-2 to Houston?
Absolutely.
And do you remember when Cleveland was down 3-2 to Boston?
Absolutely.
I was asked, what did I think about those two series? And at that point in time, I not only talked about those series, I said, this is what's going to happen. I said Golden State will win the series 4-3. I said Cleveland would beat Boston 4-3. But not only that, once they get into the NBA championship, Golden State would sweep Cleveland. At that point in time, even before they got to the championship. Now, my co-host over here is talking about even a blind man should have been able to see Golden State sweeping Cleveland. Anyone can say it once they went up 2-0 or 2-0 or 3-0, but I said it during the conference championships.
All right.
Now, that's pretty impressive, wouldn't you say, Joe?
Well, you know what? That is pretty impressive, Kevin, but I wasn't here, so I can't say exactly how it went down.
Trev, can you vouch for me, please?
Don't get me in this.
No, you're part of it.
I remember you saying that.
Thank you. Now, Bill is over there sitting, you know, like a child scolded and asked to sit in a corner. If people could actually see Bill Neal's expression because he knows exactly what I'm saying is totally true, and he can't stand to say that's right.
Well, let me help you with that.
Yes.
You were right. I don't have an
Thank
issue.
You.
I don't have an
Thank
issue.
Thank you.
Well, but I don't have an issue with you being right.
Why do you try to dilute it by saying Stevie Wonder should have been able to see that?
I don't have an issue with you being right. What I'm trying to let you know, about 12 million other people were right the same way you were.
You're exactly wrong.
You didn't release. First of all, now correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you have? Didn't you have Toronto win in the East?
I did have Toronto win in the East.
So explain to me why you didn't offer that to the listeners.
So who did you have win
in the
East?
No, that's not the question.
No.
Explain to me why you didn't offer, oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I had Toronto winning the East while I was predicting all this other stuff.
And again.
Oh, you don't want to bring that up,
And again.
Come on, Joe. Help, Joe. I can't help. So you want to mention the stuff you predicted,
we're talking
right,
about.
But you don't want to mention the stuff you predicted
wrong. We're talking
wrong.
About the last two series. Mm. Okay, you make predictions as you move forward. Yeah, I was wrong about Toronto beating Cleveland.
Yes, you were.
Okay, but you have to give me that I was totally right when it came to the conference
series. I gave you that.
You see how this works, Joe? You know, he just can't let me have.
Did I not say you were right?
He just can't let me have. I said you were right.
What I wanted you to do was mention that you also.
But you're diluting it.
Predicted.
We talked about that already. You don't want to bring that up. We talked about that already. Okay, so since we got that out the way, one of Joe as well, and we're going to talk about this later when we talk baseball. I sat here before the season, and I told everybody how horrible the Pittsburgh Pirates would be and how people should not go to the baseball games. Matter of fact, I have a new suggestion for the Pittsburgh Pirates as far as their colors, and we'll get into it later.
Oh, wow.
You know what their color should be?
No.
Black and fool's gold. Black and fool's gold. Because they have so many fans out there fooled, but they don't have me fooled. And I'm the biggest Pittsburgh Pirates fan around. And we'll talk about that later in the show, but we're going
to
stick.
You'll explain that contradiction in terms to us later. You're the biggest,
always do.
You're the biggest Pittsburgh Pirate fan ever, but you won't go to the games. You'll explain that contradiction in terms a little bit later.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
So we'll stick with
that
the
fool's
NBA.
Gold thing. Did that come to you at a traffic light? Were you at a traffic light and then a light went off and said, "Oh, I got a goodie here." Is that how that worked?
I can't explain
you
it.
You don't know how your greatness comes to you. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's the same thing when I sat here during the conference championship games, and I said that Golden State would sweep Cleveland in the championship. You know, when my gut feels something, I just express it.
Well, let's do this. Let's go around the horn, and we'll bring Joe in on the conversation. Let's talk a little bit about the NBA, and let's just offer your opinion and position. But clearly, we were hopeful that – I think the nation was hopeful that it would be a more interesting series. As a matter of fact – Game one was interesting. They made it interesting, and Cleveland got everyone's attention, and certainly by now everybody knows that JR had a brain freeze, and you know what? I'm not going to hold him accountable for life. He had a brain freeze. It happens. It has happened to athletes across the board over the years. One of the great tackles for the Minnesota Vikings, his name escapes me, picked up a fumble and ran it 70 yards the wrong way.
Marshall?
For a touchdown, and one of his teammates was trying to run him down to stop him, and he flagged him off. So it happens. And
in Dallas,
Leon Lett for Dallas.
So
it happens. But now, this is so much more glaring because it's an NBA championship game, and a zillion people are watching, and JR does have this image of being a little bit disconnected, maybe a little bit airy, maybe a little bit did you have a joint before the game ish about him. So that just added to it. And when he grabbed the ball and ran
out, maybe he didn't have one.
Maybe that's what the problem was. And so, you know, anybody that's played any level, I mean, I think we've all played at some level, and you've forgotten what down it was, or you've forgotten how much time was on the clock, or you were at the foul line and you forgot you had two and not one, and after the shot and all that kind of stuff. So we're not going to hold him. I'm not going to hold him accountable for life, but he's going to have to suffer for a bit. But overall, I have to admit, even though Cleveland got swept, you couldn't ask anything more from LeBron. No man could have done more. Single-handedly, I think it ended up that he either averaged a triple double or nearly averaged a triple double in the series. And you know, you have to applaud his effort, even though he orchestrated the team that he had and had to live and die with them. But you have to admire Curry. He's, like I said, Joe, you haven't heard me say it, but Curry's the second greatest shooter I've seen in NBA basketball, and I give the nod to Pete Maravich. I don't know that I've seen anybody shoot and handle the ball better than the pistol. And then Kevin Durant, rightfully so, although there are those who offered Curry could have got that MVP as easily as Kevin Durant got it. But all in all, if you're anti-LeBron, if you're anti-Cleveland, you enjoyed the sweep, and you enjoyed the rain dance that Golden State put on Cleveland.
Well, let me ask a question for the two of you. Do you think that the series was an embarrassment for Cleveland?
I'll speak up here. This is Joe. Kevin, I don't think the series was an embarrassment for Cleveland, particularly with game one, because they were right in that game. I mean, not in the game. They had that game. That was their game to lose, not just to win, but their game to lose. And they had it with the free throw shot that could have been sank right there for an opportunity to get up with only 4 seconds left to go. And again, even though he missed that free throw, and then, like you said, JR had that brain freeze, thinking that they were up when they were literally tied and he had the ball 2 feet from the basket. So, but I think the three other games, the final three games, one that was out west in California, they really didn't have a chance after that first game because they were defeated. And then when they came home, clearly, I thought in game three they showed up, but I thought they played well for a while, but they just gave out. You saw the champion heart come out. And like you said, with LeBron and his boys, unfortunately, his boys didn't have the championship heart. Some of those guys who have great pedigree didn't show championship. And you did see that championship level on the Golden State side.
Well, Joe, sure. I don't know if I would call it heart as much as I would call it talent.
Well, that you
know,
too.
I mean, comparably, that and there's a thin line, but I think that they came with the intent to play as hard as they could. But you know, even at that level, there's a difference in talent level.
Absolutely.
And you know, it bears itself out on numerous occasions. And I think something else has to be remembered, and a couple other people brought this up. Stephen A. brought this up. You know, if LeBron doesn't pass that ball and keeps it and does damage to himself, maybe we're not at the foul line. If he makes the foul shot, then JR doesn't have a chance to make the mistake. So you can never blame one play on the loss of a game. And like I said, I don't think he should be condemned for life for it. But if they win game one, maybe Maybe it changes things.
And I wouldn't even question the pass. I mean, how many times have we seen when Jordan played in the championship, pass the ball to Paxson or someone else Kerr. To make the shot?
Yeah, Paxson, Kerr. Yeah.
So I have no problem with LeBron making that pass. What it comes down to, what would eliminate everything we're talking about, even LeBron James' broken hand, if he makes that free throw, all of those things go away. The J.R. Smith situation, LeBron striking a whiteboard and breaking his hand, all of that will go away. Just make the free throw.
Let me ask you a question because you offer that. So I guess you weren't one of the people early on in LeBron's career when he was passing the ball at the end of games and people were getting on him for not stepping up and taking the shot and being the man and being like Michael. So you weren't one of those people, huh?
Not at all, because I thought LeBron got a bad rap on that. Mm-hmm. Because, again, Michael Jordan, that was part of his scheme. Mm-hmm. You know I'm going to get double and triple team, so just stay outside. I'll find you. You'll be wide open. You just have to hit the shot.
But LeBron, early in his career, was passing the ball in single coverage. He was giving the ball up to people, and he had to learn and mature into it. And the double team, triple team, notwithstanding, you want that Kobe killer in you, that you're Isaiah in you, that you're going to take the last shot. And you're going to win the game. And what's being offered is LeBron could have done that. He did pass it. I'm okay with it, but he could have held on to the ball and won the game himself.
I think the difference early on in his career, he didn't want to take the last shot.
Right.
He was looking to pass the ball.
And people were getting on him for it.
Now I think it's different. He understands the game a lot better, and he realizes if I'm being doubled or triple teamed, someone is wide open. Well, that's the smart thing to do.
But he also realizes that he is the best man in the world.
Right.
And no man one-on-one will stop him.
Or for that matter, Joe, no one-on-two or three was stopping him. So I don't know why that was any different. He was being double-team and triple-team the entire series, in all three series. So if in hindsight,
right.
LeBron, keep
take
the ball
the
and go win
take
the
it
game.
To the right. Take
so
it to the
it's you know it's easy to dismiss that, but he's been double and triple teamed all the time. That don't stop him from scoring.
Well,
51.
No one complained. Again, no one complained when Jordan did it. No.
Right.
No. Okay. And Jordan had the killer instinct. No. Same thing with Magic. Magic had the killer instinct.
Probably because of different results.
Right.
In hindsight.
But you have to earn that right.
No.
You have to earn it, right? Nobody gives it to you.
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. I mean, a lot of that conjecture is in hindsight, and it's easy to make. And, 99 times out of 100, JR pulls that ball down and puts it right back up. You're not even having that conversation. Just
so let me ask you, gentlemen, this question.
Go ahead, Trey.
You being the experts that you are. When, and especially you, Bill, when do people stop saying, like Stephen A. Smith, I totally disagree with everything he's saying. I mean, it's LeBron James. LeBron James should prove to everybody that he is probably one of the best, if not the best player playing right now. When do you stop referring to LeBron passing the ball? You know, when do you stop trying to put the blame on him for being a team player? Because being the talent that he is, there's times when he was the ultimate team player.
And he still is.
Exactly.
And he's still
on and
is.
Off the court.
And mm-hmm. and remember, I didn't offer that. I was just repeating what Stephen A. said. But I will offer that I can concur to some degree, because in that instant, in that moment, you want the best player on the planet to take it. Mm-hmm. And the double and triple teams hadn't stopped him from scoring 51, 44, 45 before that. So I don't know that that's a great reason for him not to have done it. But I don't have a problem with him making the pass. I don't have a problem with him being the consummate team player. You know, to his deficit, some people think he's too much of a team player. I'll give you an example of something about LeBron. And this has nothing to do with – and let me be real brutally honest. I've said it time and time again. I laugh and joke about not liking LeBron, and I'm a Cleveland. I don't want to do anything but pass through Cleveland and all that kind of stuff. But
well, we understand that part.
LeBron part, we don't understand. Let me be clear on this. However, let me be clear on this. LeBron is the best player in the world today. He's a great player. He's the consummate team player. He is a walking, talking, wannabe Michael, wannabe Magic. In the same body. I ain't mad at him about that. And when you put on that 23, you said to the world, I honor this guy, and I think I'm worthy of his number. That care, you know, to heavy is the head, to wear is the crown. But to offer this, all those things being said, I'm just not a LeBron fan. And there are people who are not Jordan fans. There are people who are not Kobe fans. I'm just not a fan for reasons that are insignificant. My reasons are insignificant. I didn't like his entitlement attitude going to Miami. I didn't like him and Wade laughing and joking like they were kings of the hill. I didn't like this mobilizing of champions to win a ring. I didn't like him shipping five people out and shipping five people in. That's just me. But in terms of his greatness, you can't take that away. Nobody can take that away from me.
Well, again, and we went over
this.
But
let me offer one more thing. Here's a question for both of you. If you're Lou, would you mind if the 6'8", 260-pound guy dropped down on that lower block every now and then with that small guard on him and back him in for some easy buckets off the board? Would you mind that every now and then? Would you mind if the biggest guy on the floor and the greatest talent in the world would get in the low post every now and then? Maybe the last 2 minutes of each quarter, we isolate LeBron down low and let him score on whoever is going to pick him up or go to the foul line. I'm just saying that's something that could be added, because Michael did it and Kobe did it.
Well, but one thing about it, and I'll just say this, one thing about what LeBron is doing from a minutes per game played, no man in the history of the NBA has done that. So when you try to put him on that low block minute after minute, time after time, game after game, don't know if his body will be able to take that.
I don't mean a lot, Joe. I mean
you just need some.
I mean a little bit. End of each quarter, give me a minute down on the block. Because if I'm the coach, and you all know, you play, you know that growing up playing high school college ball, the coach made sure the big cat get your butt on that block.
That's right.
I'm just saying, at the end of
the
quarter,
it's a different style of basketball.
But
today,
would you be okay with him going to the low block and scoring?
I would be okay with it, but what he's doing now is working.
Okay, he just needs a better supporting cast.
That
wouldn't work any less. So why not isolate him in that situation, and so he doesn't have to make that pass?
That's not going to help solve anything.
Why not isolate him on the low block in that situation? He doesn't have to make that pass. He has destiny in his hands. Why not do that? Why not let that be in a set play that in this moment we need to isolate LeBron with whoever's doubling him and let him go down the low block?
I'm not sure if they would have allowed an isolation in that particular situation. In that type of situation, Golden State is smart enough to say, we're going to make LeBron pass this ball. He will not beat us. And that's the reason that he passed that first game, because they knew. So I don't even think that should be questioned, because, again,
how many points did he have that game?
That the first game?
Yeah.
I believe he had 51 points.
So it must not have worked.
Not at all. So
that theory of him not beating us must not have worked. He scored 51.
And again,
well, let him get 53.
You know, my point is,
he's getting fouled.
They had it in their mind
that
LeBron would not beat them in game one.
I understand that. He's getting fouled.
So no matter where
post,
he had the ball,
he's getting fouled in the low post. He's going to the line. That's hindsight. I'll let it go.
There's a few things I would like to touch on in the NBA, and we're going to stay with Golden State for a minute, because they had their victory parade on Tuesday night. But this might be their last victory parade in Oakland, because I'm not sure if you two are aware, but they're moving across the bridge to San Francisco.
Okay.
So either, you know, they're going to resume their winning ways, which, you know, if they keep the team together, I would expect that they will have a good chance to win another one, but it'll be on the other side of the bay. It'll be in San Francisco. So I just wanted to mention that as well. And now, you know, given that the championship is over, we're in the free agency period. So where do you two think? Will LeBron stay in Cleveland, or do you think he'll move on?
I think, just personally, he will pack his bag, and it will be based on a number of different things. One, I think he feels like he's giving Cleveland their due, and two, he feels like he wants to do this build thing again. You know, when I say build a new program. Okay. I want to go to where there could be some additional champions. And I think Houston, there could be an opportunity there where he sees some level of talent. That's a young ball club. Could bring a person like LeBron in and they could do some damage. I mean, they had Golden State on the ropes. I mean, they had them, you know, just this close to closing that game seven out. And they just didn't have enough at the end. So I think he could really look at that. You know, some people say, well, maybe even Boston. And I'm like, I don't think Boston. Mm-hmm. He's got to go back in there with his nemesis point guard.
Right.
Who we saw in Cleveland that didn't work out too well. So,
well, it worked out. Well, but not from personality standpoint. He didn't want to stick around.
Right. Not from a personality standpoint. Basketball.
It was kind of like a Kobe and a Shaq.
That's exactly right.
A smaller version, I guess.
Absolutely. But I think he's going to probably opt out. But he's a free agent, so he will probably take his free agency.
Well, he has to opt out by June 29th.
Right.
So,
he will probably do it.
Well, you know,
Mr. Magic Man, go ahead.
I don't need any tags. I don't need any tags. You know, people know who I am. But listen, he doesn't owe Cleveland anything else. He doesn't owe Cleveland anything else. And Cleveland ownership and management had an opportunity to put greater players around him to ensure another championship. They didn't do it for whatever reason. But I've said all along that I think he's leaving, and primarily because why not? You know, I've done my due. I brought you a title. I built playgrounds and parks and signed autographs and gave away food and all that. I think he's going to the Lakers. I think Magic has been in his ear the entire time. I think because he wants to play like Magic, I think he's a little bit attracted to that possibility. I think Magic wants to get the Lakers back to prime time, and that's the way to do it. And I think that's the team of all the teams available, that being Philly, Houston, San Antonio to a lesser degree. LA is a team they could build around him and shuffle players around. But I just think there's not enough balls in Houston for him to go to Houston.
So you're saying LA.
And keep everybody happy. And the reason Harden left the team he left, where was Harden at first?
Oklahoma City.
OKC. The reason Harden left there is because he wanted to be the man of the hour. So he went, and understandably, he went and found his superstardom. So if LeBron joins that team, it kind of puts him back into that sharing mode, and that's not what he wanted. So I think the team that can be built around him, the easiest and the best, with all the upside, is the Lakers.
Okay, so I'm on the record. I stated it before. I do believe that he'll go to Houston. I believe LeBron realizes in order to beat Golden State, you have to have another power team to beat that team. As I mentioned before, champions not champions out. And I think if he goes to Houston, that'd be a championship caliber basketball team. And what I would like to do as well, Bill, because we're coming up on break, there's a lot of free agents other than LeBron James in the NBA. So I would like us to talk about those free agents as well. And we'll talk later in the show, Major League Baseball and the Pittsburgh Pirates, U.S. Open. Golf is going on with Tiger Woods. And
before we go to break, do you imagine that you have a cape on your back? You know, you sit back and you offer this, I'm on the record. Like, this is
we'll talk about how the world is going to be according to Kevin.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it. Yeah, and we'll also talk about the NFL because I want people to know what's coming up.
People will come back to get answers to all of your predictions and even those that you don't own up to, like Tiger's going to win the Masters. You didn't offer that, you said that too. But be that as it may, we'll be right back after this break, ladies and gentlemen.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that?
you can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? Now think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.